And welcome back to the Lawn Hustle Podcast. I am your host, Andy Wilson. I have 16 years of experience in the green industry. And the sole purpose of this podcast is to help lawn care businesses legitimize the green industry. We want to do our part in taking us from the chuck in the truck to a legitimate, thriving industry. Tonight, I have a special guest, John Grant, with Grant Sons Lawn Care. John, welcome to the Lawn Hustle.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
Well, a few months ago, you and I had the privilege of attending the LCR Summit and Equip Expo in Louisville, Kentucky. Tell us, what was your biggest takeaways from both events?
Let's see. I would say from the LCR Summit, I was really kind of recognizing a lot of my learning. I was being a student, but not as much putting it into practice as I should have been. And that's something we're really trying to work on. That I would say I struggle with. You get a lot of education, you get a lot of learning. You hear how you should be doing it, but are you really putting it into practice? And I would say I was struggling with that. And that was something I was having a hard time with, getting stuff into play that I should have been, or holding back, you know, maybe afraid to step out sometimes to move forward with that stuff. I came to the realization that I need to put more things into play and utilize the stuff I'm learning more and be able to grow the business.
What about Equip Expo? What was this your first year to attend Equip?
This was our third year at Equip.
Okay.
23 was our first year there. So, I would say Equip was good. More trying to find maybe the new piece of equipment or the new piece of equipment that'll help us to grow our business or be able to be more efficient in what we're doing. So we are looking at again, checking mowers out, checking out the new Ferris stuff, the new Billy Goat stuff, to see how we can grow with maybe those brands and be able to increase our efficiency with different pieces of equipment.
Well, tell our listeners, you know, where you're at. Tell us about your business, how long you've been in business, what services you offer. Introduce us to Grant's Sons Lawn Care.
So I'm the owner, John Grant, of Grant and Sons Lawn Care. We're out of Fishersville, Virginia. This will be our third full year. This last year, so this will be our fourth full year doing lawn care. We started and opened doors in September of 22, and we started with leaf removal. So this was our fourth year doing leaf removal. And then we went into lawn maintenance, seeing that, if we're going to continue to grow this, we need to be able to offer other services such as lawn maintenance, landscape enhancements. So that's kind of where we stick with right now. We'll do some design install, nothing massive, but we do plantings and installs like that. We don't do any hardscape right now. We're holding off on that. We really want to be able to grow our lawn maintenance side and get that, get some more clients on that end of the business. So really, this will be our fourth year going into this coming spring. So we're excited for a new season.
This will be our 17th season.
That's awesome.
Since I got into the business. And we are probably going to eliminate a couple services. I've spent some time this winter evaluating my business right after I got home from Equip Expo. I was drilling some holes for a privacy fence build and hit a tree stump underground, locked my auger up instantly, threw me across the yard, and I ripped this rotator cuff in three places, tore that main ligament completely in half, created a bunch of bone spurs on my collarbone that was digging into the rotator cuff. 6 weeks ago, I had surgery on this rotator cuff, and I'm going to be down until April. So I got a lot of time to reevaluate my business and look at things. So I've been looking at what services are making me money, what services are costing me money, and what services can I eliminate? So I want to eliminate probably my fertilization aspect of the business because I really don't do enough of it to justify having the permagreens and all that equipment. So we're going to downsize that, and I want to really try to grow the lawn maintenance side of my business. We're at 140 clients a week right now, but there's room to grow. So I want to do that. We had a webinar a few weeks back on what to do in the wintertime to help your business be ready to go in the spring. Because you and I both know, we heard Naylor's lesson at LCR about nature. And we know that if you wait till spring to get going, you're already behind. So I want to put forth the effort now to help this year be the best year of my business. So let me ask you, what are you doing in the winter months to help your business be ready to roll when it's time to roll?
Sure. So right now we just actually talked a little bit about it today. Me and my wife and my son, really just working on, we're looking at all our, some of our marketing we did last year, and really kind of, we didn't have the time and didn't really look at where that's, how well that did, you know. We're going to break that down and revisit it and see, what we were paying for leads, what that cost us. Was it benefiting us? We've done some marketing with some other places. And I just really haven't seen the return. It may be brand awareness, but I haven't got a call from all those, which is just fine. I think it's more brand awareness, that other marketing we do, but I'm probably looking at pulling that so I can put it towards more, either Facebook marketing, maybe doing some more flyers. We've already been out this year, putting out door hangers to get ready for fall pruning, fall/spring pruning, you know, and get that all lined out and try to get some more customers in all the subdivisions we service. But we've been sitting down and really looking at, okay, here's our goals for this year, doing some goal setting, how we want to grow the company. We just feel like right now we really need to also grow our lawn maintenance side that needs to be built up. We need probably about another 50 mowing customers this year is where we want to go. We hired a guy right after Quip, mid-November there, which kind of off-season, but hired him to get him in, see how he does in the fall here. And we're doing some training this winter with him to build him up, get him ready for the spring. And the goal will be hopefully to have him, he'll be running a truck with Caden and possibly me, and maybe hiring another guy this spring to be more of a trimmer guide and starting out. Awesome. They'll both be learning, but the goal will be for him to grow and be able to take over a truck at some point. I would say the biggest part we're doing right now is really doing the goal setting, planning out our year for, like Naylor talks about, the different seasons that you do different stuff. You need to really train your customers to know that, hey, this is the time that we do this service, because come summer, we're slammed with mowing, you know. Our long-term goal would be able to have a truck here maybe by this year, or maybe out doing more landscape enhancement stuff and being able to go out and do quotes and estimates easier. Last year, I was so, me and Caden were so slammed and so busy that, and we didn't hire a guy. We hired a guy mid-summer and he didn't work out. He was a great guy, but he just kind of ghosted. So we were trying to, hiring seems like a huge frustration sometimes, you know. I mean, it's a lot of work to know, the right person that you have to train them no matter what. You got to train these people and put the time in and, be able to do that. So, building a landscape enhancement service so we can be out doing mulch and different things like that and taking care of properties, regular maintenance on their shrubs and bed maintenance is a goal of mine to have, and to be able to fill that, have a truck that is, you know, staying busy doing those services, just so we can grow that revenue and grow the business and provide those services.
Well, you are on the right track. You know, people don't wait till spring to start thinking about spring. They're so far behind because once that spring rush hits, you know, like I know, it's go, 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 because the grass is growing so fast you can barely keep up with it. And then you get 2 or 3 days of rain, and by the time you get back to that property, the grass is knee high. So, yeah. You know, now's the time to really start setting your plans, setting your goals, and putting your plan into action to where your goal can become a reality. So you're on the right track. I follow you on Instagram, and you have 9,068 followers on Instagram. I love your content. Since you've been in business for the last 3 or 4 years, what has been the biggest challenge for you, and how did you overcome it?
Let's see. I would say it's probably right now with hiring. I was so afraid to hire. Just stress. You get a couple guys, and I've hired a couple guys over the years, and just nobody ever can either cut it, or they know it all, and you find out they don't, or they can't really do the job, or they're not as good as they said they were. They don't have the experience. Or then you find somebody that's great and they ghost you, you know? So it's like, it's, to me, it was so stressful, to hand over reins too and say, hey, I'm going to trust you to do this. Cause I'd say that's one of my biggest struggles is, letting go of, being in charge, like in the, you know, out in the field, being the one who's doing the work. Like, I want to jump in and just do it rather than teach, when I know that I need to teach, and step back and say, let them figure it out. Let them fail or let them learn. Cause you can't learn from your mistakes if you don't make any mistakes. And so I would say, hiring, and then giving control over to those employees too, like us. I mean, not all full control, but you know what I mean? Like giving them, some responsibility.
Elite way to do the job.
Yeah, giving them the responsibility to do that job and letting them do it without jumping in and being like, oh, no, don't do it that way. Oh, no, don't do it this way. Well, let them figure it out. And then when we come back and look at it, okay, next time I would have done it this way. It looks great, but next time let's do this way and teach from how you want it to be done. But I mean, give them instructions, right? I feel like training is a big thing that doesn't happen a lot anymore in our, not necessarily in our industry, but in the world. Like, I feel like people are just thrown into positions and expected to do your job. You said you could do this, do it, you know, rather than, teaching. And like an apprenticeship used to be back in the day, you know, you go into a job and you were trained to do that job, you know. So I feel that training is a big thing, and that's something we're really trying to push forward with this employee. I talked to him. I said, I'm sending you to a class for a landscape class to learn about landscaping. Him and Caden will both be going to it. Paid class. You'll get paid. Go on a Saturday. It's some extra hours for you, and it's a chance to learn, and I'm investing in him so that he knows that this is worth it to him too, you know, that he gets to, that I'm investing in him, not necessarily just expecting him to come to work and, you know, provide, you know.
Well, when you invest in your employees, you're actually investing in your business as well. Because if you can make them be better employees, it benefits you as the business owner. And it works together. And I found another thing, not only teaching, but sharing my vision with employees so they know where I want the business to go.
Yeah.
And we hang big banners and big flyers and stuff inside the shop. So when they walk in and they see, you know, our financial goal for this year is 300 grand or 400,000, whatever. They know where I want to go. And when I share my vision with them, share my dream and my passion with them, they buy into the business because they feel like they're not just cutting grass. They're a part of a legitimate business. So sharing that vision, sharing that dream, sharing the goal, and teaching them how to do the job will only benefit me and benefit you as the business owners. So I appreciate what you're doing with your son and this employee, investing in them. I really feel like you have to invest in your business as much as you invest into your equipment. Because the reason why I say that is when I invest in myself by going to Equip or going to LCR or going to, you know, Brian Fullerton's meeting, whatever it is, or buying books, joining mastermind groups, I'm investing in myself to make me a better man, a better husband, a better business owner, because it all works together. I can't be a good husband and a lousy business owner. And I can't be a lousy right. business owner and be a good husband, because it bleeds through. And one thing I had to learn is I never bring business home with me. At the end of the day, when we're finished unloading the trailer, I have some nice lawn chairs inside the shop. I'll sit there for 10, 15 minutes and just unwind. Let everything from the day, the stress, the pressure, the success, or the failure, just roll off of me. So I don't bring that home, because my family don't deserve the stress and the pressure of the business on them when they've had a busy day, or maybe my wife had a bad day teaching school that day. So I just learned a long time ago, when you shut down, shut down. Don't bring it home. And, you know, there is a lot of learning that's involved in running a business.
There is.
So if If John Grant today could go back to when John Grant started, what would you tell yourself then?
I probably would have done a little, well, it's hard when you're starting out, I think. I would probably like to do a little more like what you're talking about, you know, that de-stressing or leaving that there at the shop. My only problem was this was home was my shop, you know, until this, I'd say this November when we hired this guy, we just started, got a storage unit and started out of that. So, and I probably would have tried to, I know starting a business, it takes a lot. It's a lot of your time. It's a lot of extra time. I feel like the reason I started it was to buy back my time with my family, my kids. And I feel that the last 3 years of starting the business, I probably had less time with my family and my kids. So that's a frustration for me because my goal with this was to have more time. I mean, I've had more time with Caden, and we've had some time together, me and Noah, within the business, but I just feel like the goal was to buy back my time after hours, which I didn't, you know? And we're working towards that now. That's the goal now. That's one of the things I'm really working on is trying, with the new employee, I'm able to be home. We're done by 4:15. We got a shut off time. Maybe here and there a job we don't plan to go further, but it goes over a little bit, and that's going to happen here and there. But the goal is to be done at 4:15, and we're out for the day, and I'm home. And I go to my son's game. I can do whatever. So we having that extra employee has really let me do that already. And that I would say that's the thing I wish I could have done maybe earlier, maybe hired a guy earlier and not been so afraid to hire. Because, I mean, I think we probably could have grown a little quicker or grown a little bigger if we had that other guy. Because me and Caden did probably 60-hour weeks last year, you know. I would say don't be afraid to hire.
I love that. And I love that you're buying back your time. And When I started, it was daylight to dark. I went every day. Mm-hmm. And I was missing birthday parties, family cookouts, family reunions, you know, special occasions at friends' houses. And my wife would come home and I would say, well, who was there? And she would say, well, Tim was there or Kirk was there. And they ask, you know, where you were. And then they just started saying, is Andy working? Because they knew that's what I was doing. It was a day and there was sunshine, so I was working. But I got tired of that because I realized I was so busy trying to build a business that I was failing in building a life. Mm-hmm. I was failing my family. Yeah. I was failing my friends. So I had to come to the same conclusion as you. You know, I got to shut down at this time. If I get done early, great. If I quit at 4:30, if I'm starting a job and it's going to take me 35 minutes to do it, and it's 4:10 already, that job's going to wait till the first job in the next morning because I shut down. The banks don't stay open.
No.
Just because, you know, you're running late and you get there. If you're not there when they close, they're closed. You have to wait till the morning. So, you know, and then another important thing is to know your price. Price your properties according to your value and according to that client's expected outcome of the job. And when you do that and you stick to it, you know, it's going to make you more profitable. It's going to build a better relationship with your client because they know you're going to show up, you're going to do the job, it's going to look great when you're done. And I had one lady tell me, well, you're high. The last guy done it for $25. Call the last guy, have him come back because I've got a minimum and your property falls in that minimum, and it's going to be this price, but I promise you, you get the best job that you can buy in Newcastle, because I'm going to do the job. I'm going to show up. I'm going to show out, and your job's going to be done with professionalism. It's going to be done with integrity, and I'm going to do it with a spirit of a servant, because I feel like we're servants to our clients. You know, not that there are boss ruling over us, but they do hold the paycheck or the credit card. They're paying us, so we are their servant, and we do it with a spirit of excellence in all that we do. So let's take a short break. Let's hear a word from our show sponsor, Eartha Pro.
Did you know that bookkeeping is one of the first things you should outsource before scaling your company? Hey guys, it's Joey with The Landscaping Bookkeeper, and I wanted to personally invite you to join our group of more than 50 lawn care
companies
that have decided to track and learn their numbers. With The Landscaping Bookkeeper, you'll get monthly accountability and peace of mind knowing that your business is on the right track financially. You can book a call with us by going to thelandscapingbookkeeper.com and scheduling a 15-minute phone call. I look forward to hearing from you guys. Thanks.
We'll hear from Eartha Pro here at the end of the show. That was Joey Coberly, The Landscaping Bookkeeper. If you need bookkeeping services, reach out to Joey or Megan Coberly and schedule that free 15-minute call. Okay, let me ask you this. Where is your business today, and where do you see it in 2 or 3 years as far as number of employees, number of clients? What are your goals? Where are you going?
So 2 to 3 years. I hope to have at least 3, maybe 4 trucks doing at least lawn maintenance. We're trying to get into fertilization. I'm probably going to have to end up hiring a tech with the way my situation is here in Virginia. It's a little different than most. You can't just go test. You have to have worked under a prior company and have your commercial pesticide license through somebody else, applicator's license. So I will have to hire a pesticide and fertilization applicator, a commercial guy, to do that. That'll be that's my goal here. Maybe this year, maybe next year. We're going to try to push that fertilization with our clients. So the goal would be to hopefully have a truck running full capacity doing fertilization within the next 3 years. And then I hope to have at least a landscape enhancement or even design truck out doing landscape installs and enhancement work. Probably at least three mowing trucks, maybe 4. Right now we're looking at whether the best thing is, there's a lot of debate on this, so whether 2 guys in a truck or 3 guys in a truck. I know with me and Caden last year, 2 guys in a truck, we're pushing on our size properties in our area. We're pushing 20 a day is pushing it. It's pretty, that's a tight, a long day. And we had a guy through July and August, and we were finishing by 2 o'clock. So I was, and I had picked up some more. We were up to about 21 or 22 on that day, and we were still finishing at 1:30 or 2. We could add another 10 jobs, or, we could add 30 jobs, 28 to 30 jobs on that route per day. It'd be a little much, but probably 24, 25 would be perfect. So figuring out that, your guys aren't as worn out, right? If you're 2 guys pushing. So that's something we're playing with. So how many trucks and how many routes will depend on which way we go with whether two or three guys in a truck.
Well, we hear a lot about people transitioning to battery powered equipment. Mm-hmm. Are you using gas or battery powered? And do you plan to transition to battery powered?
Good question. I would like to transition to battery. We don't do any of our mowing stuff with battery, but some of our trimming right now, we're using Milwaukee. That's what we have right now. Only using them for doing shrubs and stuff. But we like the electric. I guess it really depends on the cost of it all. You know, setting up a truck, what is the cost? And I see the investment with the savings and the time, just with not having to deal with as much maintenance on the gas side of the engine side. I see that just with, you know, you get a trimmer after a little while, it starts, you're yanking it two or three times to get it started, or maybe four or five, you know, and then that thing doesn't start and you're on a, you know, so I see in that way it's beneficial. We would like to move to battery. It just really depends on the cost. I know getting set up with a truck, we really like the Crest stuff. Our biggest problem with the Crest stuff is there is no dealer close to us.
Right.
Not that there's going to be any major repairs that we probably couldn't do ourselves, but it's just getting the stuff. There's hour and a half away for the nearest dealer. And I don't even know if they're necessarily still a dealer. I'd like to see some of the robotics with the mowers more. I don't know that I want the autonomous itself, but the autonomous, maybe the smaller scale stuff that's you can set and leave. I really thought that was beneficial because you could have a guy in a truck that's literally going out doing trimming and maybe a monthly maintenance on that piece of equipment that's on the yard. And then he's not actually carrying a mower and you only need one guy in a truck. So your profits could be higher. But with trimmers and stuff, I'd like to move that route and blowers. It's just really finding if we can get a dealer close, or we may look at Milwaukee. I don't know, and see.
Well, this year to equip, I connected with Cynics Tools.
Okay.
And they have brought me on as a brand ambassador for Cynics Tools. They've sent me a blower, a hedge trimmer, and a trimmer. Four or five batteries and three different chargers. And I used them there at the end of the fall season before I got injured. And I am really impressed with the balance of the trimmer, the weight. It's so much lighter than my steel trimmers that we've been using. And the battery life works really well, especially on like the hedge trimmers. I can trim with that thing all day long. And I mean, I'm trimming a lot of bushes in a day's time. So my biggest fear of transitioning from gas to battery was that the battery life, you know, would they hold up for all that we put them through, you know? But so far, I'm impressed with Cynics. It's a great piece of equipment. The trimmers last great. They have great balance. I don't smell gas. I don't smell like gas, you know. And so I'm thankful for that. And it's a process. We're transitioning slowly. But I'm 60 years old, so I don't have too many more years active in the business. I have a guy that's wanting to buy me out right now. So we'll see how that goes. But let's talk about your Instagram for a minute. I was following you when you had just a handful of followers. And then the next day I woke up and you had 5,000. And then the next day you had 8,000. And now you're up to 9,068. What is your secret?
Having a teenager. I'll tell you what, when I started that Instagram, I had up to about 350 maybe followers, and we went to Naylor's event last year, and they talked a lot about social media at that event and growing your social media platforms to be able to grow your audience. Our audience necessarily isn't everybody else out there in the green industry. That's not what we're shooting for. We're shooting for B2C, which is business to customer, instead of business to business. We have a lot of business to business, but from that we get a lot of business. We can get business to customer because it kind of spreads out. So at that summit, the LCR summit, they were talking about, how to set up your Instagram and how it needs to look on your platform there, when you do it, and how to set those different things up. And I looked over at Caden and I said, we need to change that. And, before he goes, I already did it. I was like, what? And sure enough, I pull it up and he's got it edited already. And so they're just talking, and I was like, hey, we need to change that too. He's like, I already did it, you know? And, I think by the time we got back from Equip, I think we'd already, tripled, you know, within the next like 2 weeks after Equip, we had already tripled in the amount of followers. And the biggest thing with it, was learning to post consistently. The consistency is what gets the algorithm working, which moves you up and spreads sends your stuff out to more people. The more you're consistent and post on the regular, it's not like you get to post every day. Hey, that's better. But if you can post once a week, you know, and be consistent at that, it notices that it sends you out more. So you'll get more coverage. But if you're not being consistent with it, then you're not going to get that. So he's been really consistent with it. We made more of an effort to make more videos, make more content, record more, which takes more time in the field when you're doing jobs. So, but you know, that gives us that ability to be able to have content to share about who we are, what we do, you know, what we're about, lets our customers see that. And through being able to grow that like that, is all, I would say, 99% him, you know, Caden has been the one who's been able to do that. I mean, I'm there helping make videos and doing videos, but, and making the content, I mean, the posting part and being consistent with it and making and preparing the content and building it, you know, has been him. So, I mean, it's been huge to see some of our videos, getting the views they get. And, that's been really awesome.
I was working here at my house in the front yard, cleaning up some leaves, and I'm on my grasshopper mower. And I thought, well, I'm here, I'll just throw a camera up. And I just filmed myself mulching up some leaves, posted on Facebook, and got 463,000 views. Yeah. And I thought, I didn't even try. I just stuck a camera on a tripod in the front yard, didn't do anything special, and it blew up. So I thought, you know, the ones that I think are going to be great videos, they turned out to be duds. And then the ones that I think, it's not going to do anything, they'll blow up. And I'll get, I got one that's got like 63,000 views or something like that. So when you post, are you posting on the same day every week? Or are you recording on the same day every week? Or tell our listeners, how many times a week do you post? What days do you post? Or are there days that are better to post on?
I think it's daily is the best. If you're going to do it, daily is the best. And there's times, you can post a six. It depends. You got to hit those different times when people are active. People are getting up or getting ready. You got a 6 o'clock post. You got a 9 o'clock post. You got an 11:30 post right before lunch. So it's hitting at lunchtime. You got a post right after lunch for those people who are maybe taking a break, 2 o'clock, 3, 5, 6, somewhere, in those time frames when people are getting off work, they're wanting to get on their phone. They're wanting to look at that kind of content. They're looking for an outlet, and then I think towards the evening time too, we don't post that often. But those are your time frames, you can find that stuff online, but those are the beneficial time frames when you should be making a post and putting one out. And if you do it every day at 9 o'clock every morning, once one person looks at that and they see your post again and they start following you, well, the algorithm's going to push it out to them. That algorithm's going to continue to push that post to them, and then it's going to push it to other people. If you're consistently posting, you don't have to post all the time. It's about the consistency. It looks for that consistency of posting once a day, once a week, you do it at the same time, I would say that's the biggest thing, is if you could be consistent with your posting. And, like you were saying, you just threw a camera up and made a video, I think sometimes the videos that are more natural, you're not trying, you're just doing what you do. They're the videos that hit, and sometimes when we try to make a good video and you're trying too hard, so making that video that's just natural and it's just what you're doing, this is what we do, I think those sometimes are your ones that hit the best.
Well, I hope you take his advice on your social media, because he's done it and his platform has grown 9,068 followers. If you take my Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, all of them, and add all of my followers up, I would be lucky if I hit his Instagram number, because I just haven't, like he said, I've not been consistent enough, but that's going to change this year. I'm going to set a day and I'm going to record every day, and then I'm going to post videos at least once, maybe twice a week, on the same day, same times, every week. And I'm going to try to catch you.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, let me ask you one more question here before we wind this down.
Sure.
What is the one piece of equipment that you have gotten the best ROL on? Or ROI on, return on your investment?
Sure. Oh, let's see. I would say, probably right now, our leaf vac has been our best return on investment with our, I would say it's kind of a combined with our dump trailer. I would say spending the time I see some people spend, unloading a basic landscape trailer with no dump. Yeah, you're saving some money, but if you got two or three guys doing that unloading, you're losing money when you can pull up and dump. And yeah, it's a big investment. I understand that. And it was an investment that I saw that I needed to make from the beginning, was that dump trailer. And I would say it's paid for itself, because if I had to get the amount of leaves out of the back of that thing out of a landscape trailer, I'd be there for, I don't know how long, but we can carry almost 26 cubic yards in that thing. And that's a lot of leaves, you know, I mean, so the debris loader itself, being able to vacuum up the leaves and not having to, we had to do a job last year and hand load them, because we had already taken our setup down and I messed up and didn't do a cleanup, forgot to get it on the schedule. And the guy was like, "Are you still coming to do my cleanup?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness." And, we had to blow it and then we had to rake it and we had a full dump trailer. I mean, of unshredded leaves, but I had a full dump trailer of leaves. And I was just like, never again. Like I couldn't imagine, like I hadn't had to do it and I had to do it that way. And I was like, these guys that I've seen bigger companies than me in my area hand loading because they didn't have a debris loader, like four or five guys. And they're just loading the truck. And then they're standing there while that truck goes to dump and there's nothing to do because they've already blown all the leaves and waiting for them to go dump and come back. And I thought, look at the money being wasted there, you know? So it's a, it's a big investment.
Yeah.
It's a big investment. It is. And, but I think it pays for itself so fast.
Couldn't agree more. There was nothing like, I bought two dump trailers and we have the brand of our leaf loader or Highway. It's Highway brand, and it's big yellow. It's got a 14-inch hose, and
nice.
It'll suck through a pile of leaves in no time. And we would fill those trailers up, and I got a strawberry farmer. I take all of my mulched up leaves out to his house and dump them, and he uses it for compost for strawberry fields. So it helps him and helps me because I'm not paying to dump my leaves somewhere. And then he gets free compost. So it helps us both. And it's so nice to have friends like that and people in your community that you can work with. You know, I think a lot of people make business more difficult than it should be. You know, when you build a community and you have people in the industry, that's why I don't look at other lawn care businesses as a competitor. I look at them as a friend.
Yeah.
And we'll get together on a rain day at a local restaurant here in town, sit around the table and talk about, you know, what are you doing? How's business going this year? What's your growth? What are you eliminating? What are you doing today to help your business tomorrow? You know, just brainstorm and talk. And it is so nice to have a community of people that you can, anyone in my town, if I had a down day with equipment, someone would call me and come and help me finish up. You know, I wouldn't have a complete loss because there's friends that we build in the community and in the industry. And this farmer one day, he just called me out of the blue and said, "Hey, I need compost for my strawberry fields." He said, "In the fall of the year, would you be interested in dumping your leaves at my house?" I said, "I would love to," because yeah. I was paying dump fees every time to get rid of them. And it doesn't mean I took the dump fee off of the price for the customer, because I'm still driving out to his house and still have an employee in the truck with me. And we're dumping them. So, you know, we're still dumping them. I'm just not paying to dump them. So sure. There's still some expenses involved. And so working together. And I appreciate you coming on the show. I think you gave our listeners some very usable and actionable content and some information tonight that will help them legitimize and grow their business. So, John, I appreciate you being on the Lawn Hustle, and I hope this year is your best year ever and you find more success than you've ever had before.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, and thank you for bringing me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome, and we will do it again. I will be contacting you sometime, and maybe we'll get your son on with us the next time. Yeah. And I was teasing with him at the LCR Summit and asked him if he wanted to be my social media manager because I'd heard you say that he was the reason why your social media took off. But, man, keep putting out the content. Keep working. Keep grinding. And until we talk again, we wish you nothing but success. Thank you for being on the Lawn Hustle.
Thank you. All right.
All right.